Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, it's Lois. If you'd like to find out a little more about the writing of my best-selling memoir, A Different Way of Seeing, A Blind Woman's Journey of Living an Ordinary Life in an Extraordinary Way, stay tuned after the interview. Thanks to Hindenburg for their sponsorship of the software to edit this podcast. Hindenburg.com. It's all about the story. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen, and today we are joined by Talitha Humes, who has a really interesting concept that she's going to be discussing with us today. Talitha, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's fantastic. Thank you so much for reaching out and introducing the app to me. It sounds fascinating, and I look forward to learning more about that and sharing it with my audience. So I think the best place for us to start is just to ask if you would mind just introducing yourself to our audience and letting them know a little of your story and background.
Okay, I can do that. I should start at the beginning. When around 2002, I had a daughter, and then I got married. And then around 2004, my body started acting funny. I started getting tingly in my feet and my hands. So I had to go to the doctor to find out what happened. And I found out I had a hyperthyroid. So I went to the doctor, I received treatment, which was actual radiation pill. Mm-hmm. So that took about a year or so for me to be treated and cured. So shortly after that, my husband started noticing that I was walking funny. And of course, I didn't want to believe him because I thought I was okay. So I eventually went back to a primary care doctor. He referred me to a neurologist. He did an MRI and found out that I have multiple sclerosis. So actually, before he diagnosed me, he was saying something to where maybe I should have had your husband with you when I told you. So when you hear that, you kind of get nerves, like, what's mm-hmm. going on? And so then I thought I had multiple sclerosis. I never heard of it. So I thought I was one of Jerry's kids with muscular dystrophy, because that was the only other illness that I've heard of at that time. So actually, I did not have muscular dystrophy. I had multiple sclerosis, which is a little different. Mm-hmm. So once I started researching, I started seeing that I was actually going through the same symptoms, such as an overactive bladder and walking funny, things to that nature. So this happened like on a Tuesday. I actually remember it was July 5th, 2005. I actually remember that. My memory's bad, but I actually remember that. You know, I guess because diagnosis date, people kind of remember that forever. So 2 days later, I was watching CNN, and there were some explosions in London 2 days later, like July 7th. And I saw the screen. It said multiple sclerosis in London. I was going crazy. I'm like, what is going on in this world? Because I thought everybody had the same thing I had. It was just crazy. So when you get a diagnosis, you don't know anything about it. You're just going crazy. My mind is spinning. It's been a couple of days. And like, what am I going to do? Because now at this time, my daughter was three. I'm married. So what's going to happen? And I started hearing about what could happen, such as could be disabled. I could not walk. I could be in a wheelchair. So everything is going on at one time. So it's been 2 days since then, and I'm just nervous trying to figure out what's going on, what to do in my life. And before that, I mean, when my doctor gave me the diagnosis, he said, well, this is the medication you're going to get. It's going to be an injectable. I hate needles. So I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have MS and now I have to take a shot. I think at the time, I think that particular one was like every few days a week. Mm-hmm. And I hated that. So I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I hate shots and I have MS and I might be disabled and might be in a wheelchair. I mean, everything is just going through my mind. Yeah. So I was just like, you do what you have to do. And so to confirm everything, Friday, which is a few days after my issue with seeing multiple sclerosis in London, I had a spinal tap done. So he confirmed everything. So Tuesday, I was diagnosed. I was going crazy on Wednesday. Now Friday, I had a spinal tap, and it confirmed I actually have MS. So that's how everything started, and it's been going on since then. And it's been 20 years since I had it, 20 years this year. And so I was working. Everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, work's getting difficult because of mental issues.
Yeah.
Meaning cognitive issues. And so eventually I had to be placed on leave, which I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. But I had to. And so that's kind of... And then once I was on leave, then my girls were getting older. By this time, I actually adopted another child. Mm-hmm. So now I had my two girls. They're about 2 years apart. And they're like middle school. And what am I going to do? Now I'm on leave. What am I going to do? Yeah. They're getting older. And now I'm like, what am I really going to do? Because they won't need me like they used to, because now they're middle school, going to high school and so forth. So it's kind of what I was stuck with, trying to figure out what to do in my life.
I think receiving any diagnosis of an autoimmune condition like multiple sclerosis has a huge impact on one's life as you start to research and as the symptoms start to become progressively more evident. Tell us a little bit about the work that you were doing, what your background is in terms of the work.
I work at a bank downtown, and I was back office, not at a branch. Mm-hmm. Dealt with collections, international domestic collections, and then eventually I was doing investment banking. And then toward the end, when I was laid off, I was in mortgage banking. So for some crazy reason, like I was able to do these other jobs, but the last one was in mortgage banking and I just couldn't do the job. And I felt bad because I'm like, I'm not stupid, right? So, I mean, I went to school. I mean, I know what to do, but somehow it just wasn't, I don't know, wasn't coming together for me to continue. And as a result, my work performance went down. And I felt bad that I was going to be let go. And then it was evident that cognitive issues was kind of taking place and it's making it worse for me. So I was put on leave, unfortunately.
The symptoms for multiple sclerosis are not always the same for each individual person, are they?
Correct. And they like to say, oh, yeah, everybody's different. So I'm like, why is everybody different? Mm-hmm. Because everybody, genetics, lifestyle, choices makes everything different. But some things are common, like balance issues,
yeah,
overactive bladder, you know, issues with bowel movement, cognitive. So some can be more extreme than others. Mm-hmm. Some people lose the ability to walk. And it's a fear that I have because sometimes you wonder what happened. How could somebody go from walking to a cane, to a walker, to a wheelchair? And so everybody's different and nobody can really give me that answer of why exactly this person went from one to another. And only thing I can hear is that you have to keep moving. Yeah. You say you don't use it, you lose it concept. So as long as you keep moving, as long as you keep doing games to make your brain continue to move. And so sometimes I think it's MS, but I think it's just in general, with somebody who doesn't have an illness, when you get somebody grows older, they still have to do mental games. They still have to keep moving. If not, they would deteriorate also. But since I have MS, I think everything is MS. But it's really not. Mm-hmm. MS, it just needs to keep moving. It's just a human thing, you know, to keep going with your mind and your body.
What other impacts did the diagnosis have on your life? Obviously, the consequences in terms of your working life were tragic. But mm-hmm. in terms of the rest of your life, what impact did the diagnosis have?
I think whenever with my family, you want to go and keep going throughout the day. But where I live in the South, the heat is not a good, it's not your friend. And so as soon as you get outside, it's like, oh, it's triple digits. And so you're like, I can't go all day. So I have to go early in the day for a shorter period of time. And at one point, we used to go to a carnival. A carnival. And I want to go early in the day because I can't stay all day. Because if I'm the one driving, I have to make sure I can leave early so I can get back home and drive safely. And the girl's like, oh, why do we have to leave so soon? Why do we have to leave so soon? Because that same reason. So I started bringing my husband with him. So he's the driver. So I'm like, okay, I'm sitting down, I'm chilling. So, I mean, you just have to make choices. You have to make changes to how you do a thing every day. Your family and friends say, I understand, but they really don't because they don't live it every day.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I walk in the store, I'm like, okay, now where's the restroom? Because I know I have to go. And then they're laughing at me. I say, I'll be right back. I say, well, yeah, I know. And even right now, talking to them, and I start backing up. I say, why are you backing up? Oh, I know where you have to go. It's just, you have to laugh at it, not you cry. You know, you have to,
yeah.
You know, just have to make a new way of looking at it. It's my new norm. And I just have to express to everybody, okay, this is my new norm. This is what I can do. This is what I can do. And go from there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it is hard to be in a position where you have very little choice
mm-hmm.
and have to learn to navigate the realities that are now, as you say, you're part of your normal. So mm-hmm. it takes quite a bit of learning and listening to your body, listening mm-hmm. and testing and seeing what you can do and what you can't do. And as I know that with multiple sclerosis, that can also sometimes, to a degree, be a moving target. One day mm-hmm. can be different from the next.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Very true.
One of the challenges that you faced was in navigating the medications that you were using mm-hmm. with your multiple sclerosis.
Yes, the fun part, the medication.
Yeah. So tell me about challenges.
So when I first started, it was injectable and I hated it.
Yeah.
It was ended up being once a week. No, I take it back. Every 3 days. So I hated it. So, but the needle was only for one part. It was only to slow down the disability for MS. Mm-hmm. But then MS caused other issues. So I had a pill for my bladder, a pill to make me not crazy, a pill to come. So I had all these pills. I'd taken 8 pills. I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to keep up with this? So over time, I went from the injectable to a pill, a larger pill. For instead of taking an injectable, mm-hmm. it was a pill in addition to other pills I was taking to deal with the symptoms of MS. So I'm like, okay, this is a lot of pills. So my sister-in-law recommended I use a medication reminder app. So, okay, fine, let me do that. So I put in information and I get an alert. But then over time, I notice the pill that I'm getting from the pharmacist looks totally different from the pill on this app. So I'm like, okay. So I call the pharmacy and I say, hey, can you send me, which you sent me last time, because... Mm-hmm. One point, there was a blue pill. It was covered, so it didn't have a taste to it.
Yeah.
Then I saw a white pill, and the flavor came out, and it was not good. So I'm like, ooh. Oh, this is horrible. Let me call the pharmacy. And he said, no, we can't send you a specific one because we can only send you what we receive. I'm like, what? So after I did research, I found out they filled your prescription correctly, but using whatever drug manufacturer they receive. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So let's say Tylenol is the generic is acetaminophen. It's like standard work, it made me sound smart. So acetaminophen, Walmart has one, Walgreens have one, CVS, everybody has their own, but they all look different.
Yes.
So it's like, now I know the secret. You're getting the correct medication, but it just depends on who's filling it at the time that is requested by the pharmacy. So we can go to CVS in one part of town, get it filled. You go to a different one, totally different manufacturer, just whatever they receive. So I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to keep up with this medicine? So I'm like, okay, let me do some research and find out if there's an ad that can let me take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't exist at all. So I had to go to the computer, try to find the pill that I received, and then print it and put it on my pill box. So every day I would look at my cheat sheet, I call it a cheat sheet, with the picture of my medicine. I look at it and I say, okay, this is what I'm taking right now. This was in my hand. So everything's okay. So I'm safe to take this medicine. So I've been doing this and all of a sudden it started changing again. So I had to take another picture, print it out, and put it in my pill box. I was getting frustrated. And then for some reason, maybe the algorithms or something, I found out that I could actually make an app without coding. So I'm like, really? I didn't know I can do that. So I started researching and I made an app, but it needed additional technology behind the scenes that I didn't know for coding. So I had to hire somebody to finish the app to where you can receive notifications to take your medicine. So let's say you have to take it at 8 o'clock in the morning, you get a notification on the phone, the alert with a picture of the medicine. So I'm like, oh, perfect. This is exactly what I needed. So that's what happened. I had to create an app that lets me take a picture of the medicine because it kept changing it. And over time, it changed again and it changed again. And so the only thing I could do is go back to the app, update the picture, and I'm okay until the next few months, it would change again. Yeah. And it happens often. I thought it was just something that is out there, but I thought it was new. It's new to me. Let me say that. It's new to me. But it's something that's been going on forever. And looking at the FDA website, they have a lot of manufacturers out there.
Yeah.
And there are more and more coming too. So it will never end. It will constantly change. There's always going to be a lot of competition out there for drug manufacturers. So it's just part of life, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I hear your pain because we get used to identifying what a particular medication looks like as a mental reassurance that, yes, I have taken the specific medication that I know that I need to manage this symptom. So now if the medication's looking different, it becomes necessary to track an ever-changing landscape of medications, and that must cause a degree of confusion. So the app that you created, it's called CMED, if I'm correct?
Yes, CMEDs, yes.
So tell us about CMEDs and how it works.
Yes, CMEDs with the concept of see it, take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an assurance that regardless of what's going on in this world, we cannot control when the prescription will change. We cannot control what it looks like. At least we can control how we take the medicine to where you can see it, what it looks like on your app, and you know that you're taking the right thing right now. Because whenever you get your medication from the pharmacy, you have what literature saying, okay, this is what it is, this is what it looks like, the number. But I don't know about you, but I don't walk around with all this paperwork with the medicine. You actually don't walk around with the actual pill bottle either, right?
Yeah.
So you take it, you organize your medication, and now you're separated from the prescription bottle and from the literature that you get from the pharmacy. Now it's just you and the pill. right? Mm-hmm. So at least this is an extra assurance that at least I know what it looks like. So before I take it, and I know that it's correct. Mm-hmm. So with CMS, you just, the app is available in the Apple Store. I'm still working on getting in Google Play on Android version.
Yeah.
So you just put in the name of the medication. You actually take a picture of it. You put in the name and the dosage and how many you take and the times that you take it. Because I do have some meds that I take twice a day.
Yeah.
And some only take once a day. So when that particular time arrives, then let's say it's 8 o'clock in the morning, I get an alert. Hey, don't forget, you need to take these medications with the picture. So you know exactly which one you're supposed to take. And as you take it, you click a button saying taken. I took it at this time. I took it at the correct time and so forth. Or let's say I'm supposed to take it at 8. All of a sudden, I took it at 8:16. Mm-hmm. So you can press the button and say, okay, I just took it. Or you can change it to I took it at 8:16. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's just on the second version right now. So I just need to make more changes as more people using it and needing it. So that's kind of where I am now, just working on trying to get it out so people start using it.
So if your meds then change and you're no longer on that specific medication, do you just enter the new medication and the old one gets deleted, or does the older one remain in memory so that if somewhere down the line they say, oh, we're sending you the previous medication again, that everything is still stored there?
Well, actually, the version that I have, it only allowed you to have medication that you're taking right now.
Okay.
So let's say you don't need the old one anymore. You just delete that one and replace it with the new one.
Okay. So if you do land up going back to a previous medication, you would simply install that as the current medication.
Correct.
And go on. Correct. Aha. Great.
Yes. So I'm just on version 2, so it's more changes are needed. So that's where I am right now.
Great. That's exciting. Who would benefit from using the CMeds app?
Anyone who takes multiple medications, and we'll call them polypharmacy patients, and those who have chronic illness, those who need help remembering things, like people like me or seniors, and also it could be for seniors who are tech savvy. I mean, they can look at it and then press a button and then just say, you know, yes, I did it. Yes, no, I didn't. So that's kind of, it's for anybody who needs help remembering to take medicine.
You know, for me, I'm diabetic, blind. I'm also currently on dialysis, but hopefully going to be receiving a kidney transplant in the coming months. And just listening to how you're describing the app, I know that when I do manage to have the transplant, that I will be taking a huge number of medication. I'm sure that was bad English, of different medications that will need to be tracked. And it sounds like this might be a perfect solution for someone in my position as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yes, that'd be nice to add a voice activated one. That'd be something I can add to that as well. Yeah.
You know, the thing for me as a blind person is that I am very comfortable using technology, and particularly the inbuilt technology on Apple and Android devices. And I'd love to taste and see how compatible the app is with my current technology. So maybe we should chat about that offline, and you know, you may well find that there's a different use case out there that's already in place. So let's chat offline about that and see if that's the case.
Okay.
Great. So where do people find, well, you've already said it's on the Apple Store, and that you are hopefully working on going to be bringing it to the Google Play and the Android stores soon. What is the cost of the app?
Oh, it's a free app. It's free to download, free to use.
That's fantastic. Thank you for making that available to people at no cost. So if people would like to find out more about you, where do they do so?
Actually, you can go to on Instagram. I have for C Meds. You can go on Instagram. It's like at C Meds app. And that's pretty much the only way that you can actually contact with me.
That's great.
And also through the through the website, cmymed.com.
cmymed.com.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. We will add those two links into the episode description so that people can reach out and learn more if they wish to.
Okay, thank you.
So, Talitha, as someone who is living with an autoimmune disease and who has worked and found a solution for some of the challenges that you experienced in your life and are making that available to other people in similar positions, what advice would you offer to someone with a recent diagnosis of an autoimmune disease?
So first thing is to educate yourself as much as you can about the illness.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is as you're educating yourself, you're getting depressed, like, oh my God, this could happen to me. So as a result, always find something to laugh about, because that will kind of help counter the issue. Like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen to me. And then you have to find something to laugh about several times a day, because if not, you get in depressed mode and you'll stay there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Won't be able to think, won't be able to function. So always, always, always find a way to laugh, because that's pretty much the best medicine out there, because it actually could help you live with the illness better if you're happier, if you're smiling, because, you know, everybody knows that if you're depressed, it makes everything worse. Mm-hmm. So just always find a way to educate yourself and also laugh in the process.
I love that. That's such a wonderful kind of approach to take to find the balance. Because yes, a new diagnosis, learning to navigate a new reality, it can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. having that constant reminder of the positive things, the things that bring you joy, the laughter, that's, I think it's very important. Thank you for sharing mm-hmm. that insight.
Mm-hmm.
Talitha, it's been really great to learn about a little bit about yourself and about the C-Meds app. Thank you so much for coming onto A Different Way of Seeing today, sharing a little of your story. And thank you for both creating the app and making it available. And we look forward to learning more and seeing more people making use of your fantastic product.
Great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks so much, Talitha. Hi there, it's Lois. At the start of the episode, I said I would share a little bit with you about the writing of A Different Way of Seeing, my memoir. I started off writing the book as a way of answering the questions that I was receiving of how I accomplish tasks, how I do simple everyday things, and maybe some not quite so simple everyday things as well. What I landed up with became a combination of that, answering questions that I received from numerous sources, and also anecdotes, stories drawn from my life since becoming blind at the age of 21. I've received really good feedback on the book. People tell me it's conversational. They tell me that it's not intimidating and that it's a good read, that they can start reading and get lost in the story that I'm sharing. And for a group of people, as in those with disabilities and particularly blindness, who are often marginalized, that conversation that it starts can be so helpful to break down some of the barriers and leads to inclusion. The book is available in a number of different formats. The best way
to find out how to get hold of a copy of the book is to hop onto my website on www.loisstrachan.com and to click on the books tab. That's loisstrachan.com, LOISSTRACHAN.com, and click on the books tab. You'll be able to find information about the book as well as my other books. You'll find links to reviews and what people have said about the book. And you'll find links to order from the website, from Kindle, from Amazon, or from audible.com. It's all there on the website, loisstrachan.com. So if you're looking for something to read, why not give a different way of seeing a try? Thanks so much. I'd really love it if you could.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We would love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yazi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.